Okay, today we're going to learn Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph of Maseches Beit. So we are holding on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph already. We are at Ve'ein Zokfin Es HaMenorah. Ve'ein Zokfin Es HaMenorah. So says the Gemara. The Mishnah had said Ein Zokfin Es HaMenorah. So the Gemara, that you're not supposed to stand up a menorah. My ka'avid, what's the big deal? What's the problem? Why can't you do that on Yantif? I'm Rabbi Chinna Bar Bisna. Hacha b'menorah shel chulios. We're talking about a menorah, a candelabra that's made of different parts, askina. And that's what we're dealing with. And it fell, and therefore all the different parts fell apart from each other. So Beishameh says you're not allowed to reattach them. The mechsi kibona, because it looks like you are building. The Beishameh savri yesh binyan bekelim. Beishameh holds that there is a violation of bona of binyan when it comes to kelim. Ubeisilil savri, and Beisilil holds ein binyan bekelim ve'ein stira bekelim. There is no violation of binyan nor any violation of stira when it comes to kelim. Ula ikla lebe Rav Yehuda kam shamei zakafle lesharga. Ula went to Rav Yehuda on Yontif night, and Ula's servant got up, and he picked up the candle in a way that the shemen in the ner behind it will be further away from the wick, and he was hoping to extinguish the candle in that way. So Rabbi Yehuda asked Ula, how could you allow your servant to do this? He's distancing the oil from the wick, and that's going to be a malacha of kibui, and we know hanosin shemen b'ner chayv mishumaver hamistak b'ner chayv mishumachabe, that when you put more oil into a candle, that's a violation of mavir, that's like kindling a fire. But when you remove oil from a candle, that's mechabe, that's like extinguishing a fire. Amle lavadatoi, he says, I didn't tell him to do that, he was doing that on his own. And it's, you're right, it's wrong that he did that. Amarav kanba shari. If you take the top of the wick and you cut off the blackened part, that you're allowed to do on Yantif, because when the wick is lit, very often the tip will get burnt and it will become like charcoal, and it causes that the candle's not going to light well. So Rav says that it's mutter to take off that blackened tip on Yom Tov. That's not called Asiyas Kli. Are you allowed to extinguish a fire, a candle, on Yom Tov so that a person can have Tashmish Amita, so that a couple can have Tashmish Amita? Is that considered like Ochel Nefesh, because it's something that is a pleasure for the body? So anything that's Hanos Haguf might be Ochel Nefesh. Samarlo, Efshar Bebayis Acher. No, you don't need the candle to be extinguished. You can have Tashmish Amita somewhere else. So there's no reason to be Matir extinguishing the candle. He said, okay, that's great if you have somewhere else to go. But Ein Lo Bayis Acher Mai. What if you don't have anywhere else to go? He says, well, Efshar Lasos some Mechitza. You can make a makeshift Mechitza in your room to block between yourself and the candle. Ein Lo Lasos Mechitza Mai. What if you don't have any sheets or anything to make a makeshift Mechitza with? Efshar Lichbos Lafes a Kli. You can still darken the room by putting a Kli over the candle. Great. Ein Lo Kli Mai. What if you don't have a Kli? So Amrlei Asri says, well, you can't do it. You can't extinguish a candle for the sake of Tashmish Hamita. That type of Hana'a is not called Ochel Nefesh. So first he tried to give him all sorts of practical etzas, but if there is no such practical etzah to be had, you're not allowed to do it at the end of the day. But you know, it says in the Tosefta, Ein Mechabenes Habika'as, you're not supposed to extinguish a piece of wood that was on fire, kedei lachusa leha, so that it doesn't get ruined, because you feel bad, you don't want it to get ruined. That's not a tzoruch yom tov. V'im b'shvil shlo yisashen habayis, o agadera, but if you need to extinguish it in order that the house not get all smoky, or that the pot not get ruined, the food in the pot not get ruined, mutter, then you're allowed to. So now extinguishing the splinter of wood in order to prevent the smoking in the house, that's not ochel nefesh, that's hanos haguf, so you could stay in the house without having to worry about anything. And nevertheless, we allow kibui for such a thing. So even though it's hanas haguf, apparently we allow it on Yom Tov. So it's not only achila that we allow on Yom Tov. Any sort of physical pleasure would be considered ochel nefesh, and you'd be allowed to do malacha for it. So why is Tashmish Hamita not enough of a physical pleasure to warrant kibui? Amalei, so Abaye answered, Hahi Rabbi Yehudahi. That Tosefta follows the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who allows even Machshirei Ochel Nefesh on Yom Tov, because he darshins Hulavado Yeyasa Lachem to mean Lachem Lachol Tzarchechem, that he allows on Yom Tov any malacha that has any sort of tzarch aguf, doesn't even have to be Achila. Ki kamina ano, but when I say that you're not allowed to extinguish a flame for Tashma Shemita, the Rabbanan, I say that according to the Rabbanan, who Asir Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, because they darshin and Hulvado is mutter and not Machshirav. The Machshirin are not mutter. So this would all be considered like Machshire Ochel Nefesh Baminah by Mirabba Ma'al Chabos. So essentially we have a machlokas whether you're allowed to extinguish a flame for things like Tashmish Hamita, or that your house can be comfortable. So what the machlokas revolves around is whether Machshire Ochel Nefesh are included in the category of Ochel Nefesh. Baminah by Mirabba Ma'al Chabos is a doik of Yom Tov. Are you allowed to put out a fire on Yom Tov? If your house is on fire and could it's, you know, it's a sakana, someone might die, then there's obviously no shaila. Of course you're allowed to. Even on Shabbos you're allowed to do that. Question is, if it's only going to cost a loss of money, what's the din? Amalei, usher to extinguish a fire just for a loss of money? Usher to do on Yom Tov. But didn't we learn that you're not allowed to extinguish a flame because you feel bad for the, you don't want the wood to burn, but if it's so that your house not get all smoky, that's mutter. So you see, even for other tzarchei aguf, it doesn't have to be achila. So shouldn't we allow extinguishing a flame on Yom Tov? Because if you don't do it, the whole house is going to burn down, and you're going to have to sit in the rain and whatever else. So I hear Rabbi Yehuda, ki kaminana, the Rabbanan, same answer. And that goes like Rabbi Yehuda, who allows machshirei ochel nefesh, but we're assuming like the Rabbanan, who don't allow machshirei ochel nefesh. But can you put kol, a certain type of eye ointment on your eye on Yom Tov? When there's a sakana, a person has some sort of eye illness, kigon rira, like something called rira, ditsa, dma, dimasa, vekadachta, utchilas uchla, Lomi Bayli. That there's no shail. If you have any of these types of illnesses, of course, that feel b'Shabbos. Are you even allowed to do it on Shabbos? Kikami Bayli, Sof Uchla. When these illnesses are already, drawing to a close, you're ready at the very end, and they're almost all better. Uvtzoche Ena, and the eye is already seeing again, and there's no sakana. So you're not worried about what the long term effects if you don't use this ointment. My, are you allowed to now use this ointment on your eye on Yom Tov? Because refua is an iser drabanan. We're afraid that it will come to shchika some manam, that you'll come to grind the ingredients for refuos. So do we allow the iser drabanan for the eye ointment? Amalei, aser, says you can't do it. Esvei mechaben es habekas. But didn't we learn that you're not allowed to extinguish the bekas? And again, but if it's shelo yisashen abayis, it's mutter, so apparently it doesn't have to be food to be mutter for ochel nefesh. So again, the same answer for shanin lekedeshanin, and the answer again remains the same, that depends who you're going like. So if you hold that machshiri ochel nefesh is asr, say nechinami, it's asr. If you hold machshiri ochel nefesh is mutter, then it's mutter. Ameimar shari lemichalena minachri b'shabata. Ameimar allowed, allowing a guy to apply the eye ointment even on Shabbos, even if it's already pat, you're out of the woods, it's not a sakana anymore. Some say it wasn't just a theoretical psak halacha. He himself allowed a guy to do it for him on Shabbos. What are you thinking? Why do you allow this? Is it because of what Ula Breid Rav Ilai says, that whatever a chala needs, even if it's a chala shein bo sakana, you're allowed to do amir la'akum, a guy could do for you on Shabbos? Even if it's not something that involves danger, you could ask a guy to do it, and it's perfectly fine. and that's what you're relying on, still that's not a good enough heter, because hani mili hecha delam esayeya ba'adei, avam markam esayeya ba'adei, deka amitul pasach. That's only true. You could have a guy do the melacha for you when you don't have to participate at all. You're not helping him along. But if you have to open and close your eyes, you have to blink in order to help along, so that's not okay, because the guy's not doing everything. Amalei Samimah said, Ikra Razvid dekai kavseich. Razvid actually holds like you, and he already asked on me that same question. How can I allow the Nachri to do this? Vashani lei, and I already answered him that whenever you're not doing the Malacha itself, Misayeya in Bomamish, the fact that I'm helping out is not a significant enough action to be considered a violation of anything. So the guy is doing the primary action of putting the kol in my eyes. Yes, I'm opening and closing my eyes, but that's not a significant enough action to be a problem whatsoever. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up from there next time. From Amemar Shari the Mechalena B'Yom Tov. So we'll pick up from there next time.